Welcome to Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Thursday, October 30, 2025. I'm Rick Bierling. In local news, the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, will be suspended Saturday, a casualty of the federal government shutdown. In response, Michigan's Fair Food Network is making three changes assisting SNAP recipients. WGVU's Dee Morrison explains.
The Double Up Bucks program gives food stamps or bridge card recipients dollar-for-dollar credit for buying fresh fruits and vegetables from farmers markets and participating grocery stores. Now there are three major changes to help families build up savings on their food assistance accounts. Program Director Rachel Ho says first, there's no longer a $20 daily limit for Double Up Bucks.
Now that daily match is unlimited, so a shopper could come in and spend $50 preparing for Thanksgiving or Christmas on squash and potatoes and Brussels sprouts, and then they'll receive another $50 that they can spend at a later time.
Second, earnings no longer expire after 90 days. And third, the program is offering $40 vouchers that will not require a matching SNAP purchase. That helps families who may have already used their funds ahead of the November 1st stoppage.
Some of these changes may take a couple days to be updated at your store. So if you go and all these changes aren't in place, or there's not vouchers available, give us a call at our hotline and we have our team there to make things right for you.
Ho says the program changes will continue until the end of 2025, no matter what happens with SNAP benefits in the next couple of weeks. I'm Dee Morrison.
Ottawa County commissioners have settled two lawsuits related to prior boards' decisions in 2024. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
On Tuesday, Ottawa County Commissioners agreed to release minutes from a closed board session regarding the termination of health officer Adeline Hambley. The lawsuit was brought by the Holland Sentinel newspaper. In exchange for the minutes, the Sentinel will drop its lawsuit. In early 2023, most commissioners sought to have Hambley terminated. After a legal battle, the two parties began work on a settlement. Following a closed board session in November 2023, some commissioners believed they were voting to pay Hambley $4 million to leave. Hambley and her attorney also believed that was the agreement. Former board chair Joe Moss said the vote was only to continue negotiations. A Muskegon County judge later ruled that Moss's motion following the closed November session was too ambiguous to be enforceable. In a separate lawsuit, commissioners agreed to pay Chester Township's legal fees of almost $6,300 over a disputed grant. Under Moss, commissioners voted in 2024 to give the township $563,000 for the cleanup of Crockery Lake. But several new commissioners stopped payment on the grant in 2025, expressing concerns that the grant was not given legally, and a judge agreed. I'm David Limbaugh.
University of Michigan Health West just opened its new hematology and cancer care building on Health Drive Southwest. And as WGVU's Jennifer Moss reports, doctors say this will expand access to critical cancer services for West Michigan patients and families.
We are very excited. You know, this really marks the next step in expanding access to world-class cancer care right here at home for our patients in West Michigan.
Dr. Ronald Grifka is the president of U of M Health West, where they just opened their new hematology and cancer care building. He says their current building has served them well. However, over the last 12 months, cancer care patient volumes have quadrupled. Dr. Grifka noting, quote, they were busting at the seams. But this new expansion nearly triples exam room capacity, going from 8 to 23 rooms. And Dr. Grifka says this move will allow them to meet the demands for cancer care, like seeing patients sooner, which could help ease some of those psychological stressors.
Can you imagine, since you may have cancer and you're waiting for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks to see a physician, that's got to be incredibly challenging. If we can see them quicker, sooner, with a really high-quality physician, boy, that's a win-win for everybody.
And as they expand, Dr. Grifka says they have a unique situation here with the Cancer Network of West Michigan. That network includes U of M Health West, Trinity Health Grand Rapids and Muskegon, and the Michigan Rogal Cancer Center, which doctors say is elevating cancer care across the region. Phase 2 of this project is slated for next year. I'm Jennifer Moss.
A fourth-generation Grand Rapids food service distributor is expanding outside of Michigan for the first time in its 100-year history. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
Van Eerden Food Service is opening a $51 million distribution facility in Fort Wayne, Indiana, allowing the company to expand throughout the Midwest. The new facility on 63 acres has storage for frozen, refrigerated, fresh, and other goods with office space and room for 72 semi-trailers. The site enhances Vineyard's ability to supply food products to restaurants, regional chains, schools, educational institutions, and businesses across Northeast Indiana. The new center is expected to bring more than 100 new jobs to the area, expanding Vineyard's current workforce of 750 employees. The company has been family-owned and operated since 1920, with a focus on made-in-Michigan products, and has also developed trusted national brands. I'm Dee Morrison.
And the Kent County Board of Commissioners has approved the county's first ever brownfield redevelopment plan for a Lowell-based affordable housing project. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
The difference between having this brownfield TIF and not having this brownfield TIF is basically we are sustainable or we're not.
Flat River Outreach Ministries Executive Director Wendy Price says the tax increment financing for its Lowell affordable housing development allows for a $750,000 reimbursement for costs associated with the project, addressing the need for additional affordable housing.
Our housing is not just affordable, but it's supportive as well. So we walk alongside our tenants and help them be successful.
The $2.8 million 17-unit development, which began construction over the summer, offers a mix of 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom rental units, each designed for residents earning 50 to 120% of area median income. Once completed, it will serve roughly 40 residents at a time, benefiting an estimated 400 residents over the next 25 years.
We're short somewhere around 40,000 dwelling places for people in the county. There's all kinds of data out there that shows that people are struggling to find housing.
The project is expected to be completed by late spring or early summer next year. I'm David Limbaugh.
In a moment, from the new season of Kalamazoo Lively Arts, children's book author and illustrator Emmy Castor, with WGBU's Shelley Irwin. In state news, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer and other governors are asking President Donald Trump to step in to prevent a suspension of the SNAP food aid program. SNAP provides food to 42 million Americans, including 16 million children. Funding for the food aid program is being suspended in November as part of the federal government shutdown. And Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel has joined a multi-state lawsuit over paused food assistance. Colin Jackson has more.
Earlier this month, the U.S. Department of Agriculture told states to pause Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, payments because of the federal government shutdown. Democratic state attorneys general, including Michigan, sued, alleging the government has billions in contingency funds it could use for November SNAP payments. Democratic Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel says the group of AGs has often succeeded in getting the Trump administration to change course.
Because we have such powerful arguments and the administration has such weak arguments, if they have any viable arguments at all, oftentimes the administration just drops the matter altogether.
The USDA claims it's not allowed to use its contingency funds for regular SNAP payments next month. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
A bill introduced yesterday in the state legislature would enable local governments to levy a tax to help them manage the cost of short-term rentals. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The legislature has been grappling with how to manage the proliferation of short-term rentals in many communities. These bills would allow local governments to seek voter approval for a tax to help with law enforcement and other costs that go with having a lot of short-term rentals in an area, says Republican Representative Mark Tisdall.
It's just an opportunity to create a tax for your community. Put it on the ballot. If the people want it, then you're off and running.
The Michigan Association of Realtors says it has concerns. The organization would like any bill package to include limits on local regulations meant to shut out short-term rentals. I'm Rick Pluta in Lansing.
And Michigan U.S. Senator Alyssa Slotkin is sounding an alarm about the Trump administration's deadly attacks on boats in the Caribbean Sea and Pacific Ocean. The White House claims the attacks on alleged drug traffickers have killed dozens of people. Slotkin says the administration is not identifying which groups it's targeting. The Democratic senator says Americans deserve to know who is being killed, quote, in our name, end quote. That is state and West Michigan news here on Focus West Michigan from WGVU. This is WGVU's Focus West Michigan. I'm Rick Bierling. And the new season of Kalamazoo Lively Arts is underway on WGVU Public Television, and coming up this season, we feature children's book author and illustrator Emmy Kastner. Emmy has written and illustrated So Tortoise Dug, While You're Asleep, A Very Big Fall, and more. A former high school English and science teacher, Emmy co-founded the youth writing center Read and Write Kalamazoo. Here's Emmy with WGVU's Shelley Irwin on Kalamazoo Lively Arts.
In fourth grade, I met John Sheska. He did like The Stinky Cheese Man and The True Story of the Three Little Pigs. And those were like some of my favorite books. And so he did a school visit at the elementary school that my mom worked at. And she let me skip school. And I got to go and I got to like see his presentation. And he was just so much fun. I just thought he was the funniest person I'd ever met. I brought my book for him to sign. And I told him at the time, I was like, I'm going to be a writer when I grow up. And he was like, oh, really? He's like, well, are you writing now? And at the time, I was like, yes. But I was like, oh, yeah, I write. You know, I have fun drawing and writing. He's like, then you're a writer now. And I was just like, oh, John Sheska thinks I'm a writer? Like, it like opened my brain and my heart. And I was just like, I felt so seen and all the ways that just spoke, you know, to my core and just gave me just sort of the confidence to be like, yes, I am a writer. I'm Emmy Kastner, and I am an author and illustrator of books for kids. You know, picture books, generally, they say 4 to 7, but picture books are for everyone. My middle schooler, my high schooler, everyone in my house still.
Yes, are they the toughest critics, you think?
I mean, it's really hard to impress them. They're like, oh, okay, cool, another book. My students would be like, you should make a book. And I'd have them make books in our classroom, and I'd bring in picture books. I taught high school, but we brought in picture books. I feel like it's such an elevated way to tell a story with visuals and marrying that with text to make meaning. And so, yeah, I had my students do it all the time, and finally I was like, okay, I should do this.
What was your first book?
My first published book in the world that you can buy at a bookstore would be the first book in the Nerdy Babies series called Space. It was like a nice sort of jump into the book world as a science teacher, a former science teacher. I was like, oh, it'd be really cute if kids were just reciting science facts. I was like, oh, there should be a book like that. And I was like, I don't really know a book like that yet. And so then I just like took my own advice, because I'm constantly like, write that story, tell me that story. And so I was like, I gotta write that story. So that was my first one.
So you begin with a series.
Yeah.
Nerdy Babies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where'd that come from?
Well, yeah. So when my agent took the book to publishers, there was a lot of interest, which was exciting and very new and surprising. And so it went to auction between the few houses, publishing houses, and they all wanted like 4 books. And I was just like, I just have one written right now, but I have other ideas. And I think that's how we had pitched it. Like, it could be a series. So yeah, that kind of started it. And I didn't want to just make science books. Lots of other ideas. So from there, the ball started rolling.
And then there is So Tortoise Dug?
Yes. So that book, So Tortoise Dug, is about a little mouse and a little tortoise who are friends. They're based on real animals. There's a gopher tortoise and a Florida mouse, and they are burrow mates. And I was actually researching for a spread in Nerdy Babies Rocks, and I needed a cutaway of like an underground situation. And I was like, I want an animal that maybe we don't know lives in a burrow. So I was just doing some research, and I found the gopher tortoise, and I was like, huh, they're a keystone species, and like over 300 animals share a burrow. And it's like snakes and skunks and bunnies and like mole skinks and moths and like all these animals. And I was just like, what? It was so fascinating. And so I read this like scientific article that said, so the Florida mouse and the gopher tortoise have been burrow mates for millions of years. And sometimes the Florida mouse goes to visit the armadillo, but they always come back. And I was like, oh, that's its own story. So it's really the story of this Florida mouse and this gopher tortoise, and there's a visit to an armadillo.
All the research that you do.
Yeah.
How do you do this? Do you sit at your studio in silence and write, or what's your...
You know, I'm pretty, I'm all over the place. So much of my writing just sort of, I think about things a lot and kind of like we'll talk through ideas. My husband, I'm always like telling him an idea for a book and like working through what it would be. I've got some good friends who are always lending an ear. So kind of happens a lot. And then I'll, when the point when I'm like sitting down and writing, like that happens by my computer, sure. But sometimes I'm like also inspired by like figuring out the look or the style or the way into the story. So I bounce around a lot.
What else do we know need to know about Emmy Kastner?
I don't know, like what do we need to know? My favorite part probably outside of just making books and the creative process and what that looks like. I mean, you know, that's it's so much fun working with my editor and my art director and like shaping a book and really like, you know, making it ready to be a finished product that you can hold in your hands. But outside of that creative process, I have so much fun doing school visits, and that is such a huge part of the job where I'm going into schools. I'm, you know, I have fun presentations, doing interactive games and drawings and reading the books and just getting kids excited about books, because that happened for me. I mean, I was little. The preschool I went to was in a library, and I just loved being around books like Frog and Toad and Amelia Bedelia, and like all these books as a kid just meant the world to me. And so I was a kid who was like, I'm going to be a writer. And I started writing stories as a kid. In fourth grade, I typed out a book called The Bear Who Came Alive. So
is that on the show?
No. No, I think it's in my parents' attic. So now it's just full circle. And me doing those school visits, it's just so exciting to connect. I love being around kids, and I love be creative with kids. And yeah, that's my favorite part, probably.
I bet you just recently changed some fourth graders' pursuit in life. Amy, keep up your good work. Thank you for you, and the coffee's great. Let's go have another cup.
Cheers. Thank you.
You can find out more about Emmy Kastner at emmykmakes.com. That's one word, emmykmakes.com. And look for her on an upcoming episode of Kalamazoo Lively Arts on WGVU-TV and on YouTube. That is all for Focus West Michigan today, Thursday, October 30, 2025. I'm Rick Bierling. See you tomorrow.